Vice Admiral's log, stardate 61224.9. We are en route from the Carina Nebula near the Beta Delta border, the last known location of the USS Protostar. Our only lead on her missing crew, led by Captain Chakotay. It's strange, commanding the Dauntless after years behind a desk. Even its name, suggested by Project Lead Belana Torres, is a solemn reminder of my previous time in the Delta Quadrant on Voyager. The sacrifices there, the mistakes we made. And now, a chance to return and rectify them. This was the mission of the Protostar, one Chakotay deeply believed in. And yet, the question remains, what happened to him? Our investigation led to a battle-damaged asteroid where we discovered a broken comm badge and equipment, rations, life support, enough to sustain hundreds for decades. But it was strangely empty, save for one lone survivor. Perhaps he holds the answers we seek.
So here we are again, Davis Flyers. How are we all?
Good.
Good, good, good. Should we say a quick hello each as we begin our next journey into the Prodigy Season 1 season? Let's start with you, Miss Evelyn.
My name is Evie Davis. I am the youngest daughter.
Great.
Yes.
I'm Izzy Davis. I'm the eldest daughter.
And I'm Sarah Davis, and I am Mama Davis.
And I'm Steve Davis, the father of the crew. Is it too bold to say I'm the captain?
Have we got yes.
Okay, right, fine. Who is the captain then?
Mum.
Fair enough. Okay.
Well, Neville.
Glad we sort of bolted that out again. We've just watched Season 1, Episode 12, Let Sleeping Borg Lie. And Eva, you're going to read the synopsis, aren't you?
Yes.
Go for it.
Okay. The crew watches a holodeck program of Gwyn and the Diviner's conversation regarding the weapon aboard the ship and its devastating purpose. They conduct a search of the ship but find nothing until a hidden set of letters from Gwyn's home of Solemn is located on the bridge. Her heirloom becomes a key, revealing a hidden subdeck where they find the device. Attempts to destroy it fail as it possesses a self-defense sentience. An alert signals a ship in front of the Protostar, and it is revealed to be a deactivated Borg cube. The discovery intrigues everyone else but Hologram Janeway. Hologram Janeway has severe trepidations due to past experiences with the race.
Dude, this is a massive synopsis. This isn't like the little one we read last week. This goes on for hours.
It's the same.
Is it the same one? Man, there's loads of it.
It's our synopsis.
Okay, right. Okay, carry on then. Go on.
Dal and company think that maybe the Borg can help figure out how to remove the device, so Janeway reluctantly agrees to try and board the cube. Once aboard, Zero uses their ability to link to the ship's system, but the crew are suddenly overwhelmed as their actions awaken the dormant Borgs and capture the crew for assimilation. Zero is assimilated into the collective, but Gwyn helps break them away when she alerts them that they swore not to harm anyone, but allowing assimilations would counter their belief. Zero returns to normal, plus the entire ship back into dormancy, and the team return to Protostar. The crew learn that the device is a living construct and cannot be removed or destroyed, but decide to continue to use the ship to conduct heroic missions as they respond to a distress signal.
Cool. I think that might be enough there. Or do you want to read the last bit? Okay, go for it. Put some oomph into it, Eve.
Aboard the Dauntless, Admiral Janeway learns that the Diviner is somewhat conscious, but not completely, to where she can question him regarding the ship. Lieutenant Essentia... Is that it?
Yep.
suggests using the bioserum in the suit he was in to rejuvenate him, to which Janeway agrees. Directing the ship to the last protostar warp signature, they arrive to find the remains of CR-721, which was destroyed in the previous episode. Janeway comes to the conclusion that Chakotay is no longer in control of the protostar, and that whoever does must be a threat.
Yeah.
He stops.
Yeah. Last sentence, come on, finish it with a bang.
Janeway has the Divine revived and he awakens!
They're scanning our ship.
Crew, what's going on over there? Status report.
Whatever you're doing, the Borg are waking up.
You need to hurry.
Waking up!
Jacob thinks this looks bad!
Oh no, they're already inside Zero's mind.
Wake up, Z! Wake up!
Janeway, tell me you can beam us out of here.
The cube's defenses are interfering. You'll have to find another way out.
We have to go.
We can't just leave Zero!
Resistance is futile.
We'll come back for Z! Come on!
You will be assimilated.
Nah, I'm good. They're not so tough.
They adapted to our phasers.
Okay, did we enjoy this episode, guys? Izzy, what did you think? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. For what reasons?
First off, there's a bit, you know, when Jank and Pog like cracks his fingers.
Yeah.
I just thought one of his hands is mechanic.
Right.
So that must be a really satisfying finger crack. And I got that's what stayed with me.
Yeah, that's cool.
The finger crack.
Evelyn, did you like this episode? And why?
I'm gonna kind of change the question. I think that for a Borg episode, it was very quick moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we've learned from Prodigy is that it's more about character development, not the storyline. And it doesn't really matter what happens. It's about the characters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it just felt like there wasn't enough Borg for it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if mm-hmm. you get what I mean? Like, the storyline wasn't long enough in this episode, in my opinion.
Okay, yeah, fair dues. Sarah?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. But I do wonder if what someone who is new to Star Trek would have made the Borg episode. Maybe it only made sense to me because I know a lot about the Borg.
I don't know, I'd say the Borg
didn't matter. But if you're six...
You're not going to remember the
episode. Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, the target audience.
If you're six, the Borg are just bad guys, doesn't matter who they are necessarily.
I agree with Evie that, because they're 20-minute episodes, because, you know, kids don't have very long attention spans.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that 20 minutes was a bold thing to do to fit in this whole, like, character development of Zero.
Mm-hmm.
The Borg
mm.
and the stuff going on with real life Janeway.
Do you think they managed it? I agree. There's a lot to pack in. Did they manage it?
What they achieved really well, obviously, in the show, as we've said before, is the character development. I think they got Zero's, like, what do you call it? Like,
personality?
No.
Guilt.
No, I mean, something happened.
Trauma.
You know?
Character art.
No, none of you are getting understanding what I mean. Never mind.
Maybe it's your explanation.
What I mean is, like, they were able to have this... I'll say epiphany. Epiphany isn't what I mean. It's the only word I can think of.
Realisation.
Thank you. Realisation.
Mm-hmm.
I
had that, like, 5 minutes ago. I was just enjoying watching you struggle.
That was horrible.
Yeah.
Welcome to my life. they had this realisation, and that was great. I feel like maybe the Borg stuff was a bit rushed. Because they could have brought the Borg in way earlier.
Mm.
Like, it was like, ooh,
let's look at this holodeck thing and then go on a mission to find the weapon. And oh, wow, a Borg ship.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to massively disagree with all of you. I thought that was one of the best Borg episodes I've seen for years. I think that the Borg have become now, they were introduced as like this impossible enemy to defeat, except every time we've ever encountered them, the Federation have defeated them. This was the first time where I got I was genuinely scared about them again since like Next Gen. I thought they were genuinely scary.
Well, yeah, they were. Actually.
There was real peril there.
Yeah.
Because they're kids. You think, well, how on earth are they going to get out of this? I mean, and then, of course, they do. But no, I loved it. I thought the Borg were scary again in this episode.
So why did that Borg stop and turn and look at Gwen?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's someone from her home planet.
You think?
They actually kind of look the same, to be honest, apart from that one random guy.
Yeah,
all the Borg looked the same.
Well, I was going to disagree. Man, we watched a totally different episode. I thought it was interesting that they were all different species. Again,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. The whole point of the Borg is they're exactly the same. There's nothing unique about them. So why is there suddenly this randomly, like...
There was, like, one random creature. One.
Yeah, that creature would have been assimilated to look like the rest of the Borg.
Yeah, but they've still got their own, like... structure, bone structure and things.
I ain't never seen
they're not
a Borg that looks like that before.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing. That's my point.
I think Star Trek should stay classic.
No, I think we have seen on occasion non-human Borg. Because that's
Borgs,
essentially what we're saying. And there was that episode of Voyager, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
With the three ex-Borg who were stuck together.
Mm, yeah, right.
They were all different species.
Yep. No, I thought it was good that they did say
mentally kids. Stuck together. Sorry, not physically stuck together.
Tuvix?
Don't talk about Tuvix, man.
Oh.
Don't talk about Tuvix. So, no, I thought it was really good.
I thought it was a good episode. I just think to be honest, I don't think I'll ever get over the, you know, when they went to that planet and it was all full of their fears or whatever.
Mm.
Or their dreams.
Yeah, that's my favourite episode, I think, so far.
Okay. Well, no, I'd put this up amongst one of my favourites.
It's amongst one of my favourites. Mm-hmm. I just thought I felt like it was a little bit rushed.
I really like the way that the story arc is moving and developing. I think you're right, Steve. I think in 20 minutes, they've done a really good job about the continuation of the story arc, but also introducing something new each episode as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's working really well. It'd be interesting to go back and watch them all much closer together.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so that's kind of the plotty bit. Is you touched a little bit on the characterization and Zero. What did you think about the job they did with Zero and his realization and coming to terms with what he did?
Yeah, I think they handled that very well. Because, you know, they could have made it all like cringy and like, you have to accept who you are, which you do. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but sometimes shows like really overdo it as a kid and you're just like, you're watching them when you're old, you're like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I thought that actually they left it that obviously that fear is still going to be there for a bit. But actually the fear that Zero has is A, less controlling over there. Like life, like they've been like petrified.
Mm-hmm.
Like this whole, how many episodes? Like two episodes that we've been watching, right? But then it's not, it's not controlling them as much as they were, but it's still there, which I think is true for in real life. Like I don't think you ever truly lose a fear or like a doubt you have of yourself. You just learn to not let it control your life.
Okay, I think that's quite an advanced concept for young viewers and an important one, and so you think they're doing it well?
Yeah.
Hmm,
I think they're doing it in a way that younger children will understand, and what this show's done really well is actually bringing in those more in-depth topics.
Mm-hmm.
Like at first it was like we should be kind and work together, but now actually it's about like Rock Talk accepting yourself and like, and Zero, like you're allowed to be afraid, and like when they told Gwen, like, it's okay to be like sad and grieving, like that kind of thing. It's deeper stuff that actually, you know, if you're not taught from an early age, you then have to deal with when you're older and face that kind of thing.
Evie, you got much to think about on that, about how that theme of Zero coming to terms with their actions, did that strike you as significant at all, or did that one pass you by? It passed you by.
She didn't do any bad actions in that episode, did she? They didn't do any bad.
No, they're reflecting on the when they revealed their true self by accident to Gwyn, and it sent her crazy and put her in a coma and stuff at the end of the first half of the season. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, fair enough.
We did see a couple of flashbacks.
Yeah. You know the bit where we're on the holodeck at the beginning? And Zero stopped the playback at a certain point.
When they'd walk into Diviner, yeah.
Yeah, and he went, no, stop. Did you
I
realize
that happening, but I don't know why.
Why they did that?
No.
Okay, because that when that originally happened, that was the bit where Zero revealed themselves out of their sphere to stop the Diviner. It sent Gwyn bad too.
Oh yeah, because genetic.
Zero's a Medusan.
Because yep. Gwyn saw a reflection of Zero.
Oh
my gosh, Evie. Yeah. Mum, you look like you were going to say something.
No, it's fine. I was intrigued by what Evie was going to come up.
So what other character bits did you like from this, Evie? Did you like anything that happened to any of the other characters?
I liked one thing that annoyed me. I know it's part of the story and everything, but when Dal shot the bridge or whatever for Gwyn to fall, why didn't Dal and Rock-Tok just jump as well?
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it really that difficult? Like, would you rather be assimilated by the Borg or break an ankle or something? Like, jump.
But isn't half the point as well as they don't know the Borg, so they don't know what that assimilation would have been like? So for all they know, it was going to be... Like, it'd been, like, not pleasant, but they didn't know how bad it would be.
And there is this sort of movement, isn't there, in Star Trek, about coming to some sort of reconciliation about the Borg and about how, you know, maybe it's not a bad thing to be part of a collective, as long as that collective doesn't take people by force. If people choose to join the collective. Yeah. But I think that's where the Borg might be heading. They touched a bit on it in Picard, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Mm. Okay.
I liked what you said, like the Borg just leave Borg cubes lying around in space now, apparently.
Yeah.
Why were they all just having a long nap?
Some, did they say neurological pathovirus?
Oh, was that what it was? Okay.
There's a bit of techno
now. Sorry.
But strangely, they were cured of it in time to wake up and...
reasons.
Janeway pressed a button and then suddenly Janeway was like, oopsie, guys.
So are we clear now about the, what's the name of it? The construct, the living construct. Because it turns out we got a bit confused by that last week, didn't we? We weren't sure where it had come from or what it existed for.
Yeah.
What, Evie, you're our barometer of this. What do you understand by the living construct, the red thing in the subject? What do you think that is? Who made it? Right, and why?
Destroy Starfleet.
And why do they want to destroy Starfleet?
Because of first contact.
Right, and where's the Diviner from?
Dolan!
More importantly than where?
Old Star. The future!
There you go. So the Diviner's got this living construct thing from the future and has gone back in time to stop what happening?
First contact with Starfleet.
Because he blames Starfleet for...
killing his wife.
Yeah, well, and everybody else.
Oh.
We don't know whether do we know whether that did happen or not, whether it was just a thing that happened. I forget.
I don't think we know for certain.
Does it sound like Starfleet was you?
No, Starfleet on occasion have accidentally bumbled into something and caused blown trouble up where they shouldn't.
And it's... Okay.
Yeah.
Broken the Prime Directive.
Do you watch Lower Decks, Eve?
Yeah.
You do, right? Well, so with
you watch them without me sometimes. Which Lower Decks is one of the things I do like watching with you.
But did you see the episode a couple of weeks ago where they returned to the planet that the Enterprise D had been to?
Yeah. I saw that episode.
So that's the idea, that the Starfleet go around trying to do good things and then,
and then when they leave,
muck it up. Just,
And don't check up on people.
The James T. Kirk view of dropping Khan on SETI Alpha 5. And then not bothering. Check.
Also, right, you know how they were at the holodeck at the beginning?
Yeah.
Where did they get that footage from?
If they could have just watched that footage, why did they have to stress about Gwyn not being able to remember what happened?
Maybe it was a neuro scan they did of Gwyn to try and help her remember that.
No, Gwyn has a vision, had a vision last episode. Maybe they then scanned her memory and then somehow implanted it into the holodeck.
Intriguing.
Also, the intriguing case of Rocktok's Starfleet badge.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Go on, you explain.
So Rocktok's badge just randomly disappears sometimes.
But I'm wondering, because it's on her body, I wonder whether it's just that you expect it to be on her brace and then it's not.
It's not.
And then but it is there on her. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe we're just not observant.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, what else happened? Dahl's leadership is developing. Are we happy with that?
Yep, I feel like I want to smack him less.
Okay.
So
That's good. Right.
Yep, any
other,
happy there.
Any other character bits you liked or thought were noteworthy?
I wonder if they're going to do anything with Jenkin Pog, or whether, because he's a Tellarite, that's just kind of how he's going to stay.
Mm.
You know? I feel like they've gone a bit further in these past two episodes.
He feels a bit small for a
Was the Doctor on the Dauntless a Tellarite as well?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Was he?
Well, he was very rude, wasn't he? So
He was, yeah. I didn't like him.
But they're argumentative, aren't they?
Argumentative.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Contrarians.
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy hearing Jameela Jamil again? Who's Jameel Jamil? You know, of the good.
No, no, I know who Jameela Jamil is.
Right.
Who does she play?
The ensign Essentia on the Dauntless.
Lieutenant.
Good. Is she a lieutenant?
I think they refer to her as an ensign, but it's said on the thingy, lieutenant.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even realise it was Jameela Jamil.
I'm really liking that dual storyline. I'm really enjoying that. That's good.
I agree.
And my final complaint with the episode, Janeway's coffee, man.
Yeah.
Why was she not drinking coffee?
That doctor has ruined her kidney or something.
We were gutted by that, weren't we?
We were like, no!
Is it just me and I'm old and cynical and suspicious, but does anyone else still feel a bit weird about hologram Janeway?
Because
I don't know, I still don't entirely trust that she's not been corrupted.
Ooh. Wait, when did you go from? I swear at the beginning you were like hologram Janeway.
I was, and then I had a moment where particularly when we realised that the ship, things weren't quite what they seemed. But now I'm not entirely sure.
It was the runaway line that was very un-Janeway.
No, she's got a very healthy respect of the Borg, so I didn't mind that. I don't know, it's just my spidey senses are tingling.
Didn't the Borg get them back home?
Well, I mean, she had a lot of problems with the Borg, and then they ended up using a Borg conduit. Spoilers.
Trillions War.
Okay, and we got there was a little bit of something going on with Murph as well, wasn't there?
I know.
He's almost coughing up.
Yeah. It didn't look didn't look healthy.
I swear, if they kill off Murph,
I
will stop watching. Mm. Just a heads up.
Okay, because we found out Murph's species last week, didn't we?
Yeah, the melanoid slime worm.
Melanoid slime worm.
Also, I actually think Murph is going to be the thing that saves
get Murph to eat it.
Yeah, like last season, we were like, excuse me, Murph is going to have their moment, not last season, but last half.
Mm.
And then, did it happen? I can't remember.
Yeah, Murph did a thing.
Swallowed the thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Well, in fact, they should just do that now. Is that what we say? Just get Murph to swallow it, see what happens.
Why haven't they tried that? Like, actually. I think Murph is the answer to all their problems.
And they very cleverly now set up a thing whereby our crew, the Protostar, can't engage with Starfleet at all, which is quite neat, isn't it?
It sort of keeps them out on their own for a bit longer.
Mm.
Indeed.
A bit like Voyager. Like, they could have taken the easy way home, but...
Delayed gratification.
Yeah.
It's like the marshmallow test. You know that?
Well,
there were a couple of points where they were offered ways to get home, but it would have been to the detriment of the societies that were offering them the way. Or there were a few things came up, weren't there?
Values.
Yeah. Stick to your values, even when it's tough.
The year of Halloween.
I don't know. No, they were just
I was thinking more
victims.
About the folding space.
Yeah.
They roughed it on the side, weren't they, without permission.
Where have we seen a vinculum before? I can't remember. Is that Voyager or is that Picard? It was the thing that they went to today in the centre of the Borg cube to access the data.
I think that's Picard. You know when Seven of Nine goes all awesome in Picard?
Is that a vinculum that she's in? Or is that, I thought that was something else.
Oh, the Queen's control pod.
Yeah.
Oh.
That can, like, make a,
yeah,
do something fancy Dan.
Okay, one final problem.
Mm-hmm.
When before have we seen the Borg assimilate multiple people at once in, like, that circle of tables? Or is it just that, like, Picard was special and he got his own little table in the centre? Like, I swear. And who else has been assimilated over the years and got, like, Data? Mm-hmm. Data had his own table when he was getting human skin. Mm-hmm. What a weird era.
Janeway's been assimilated.
Janeway, yeah. Oh, my gosh, when was Janeway assimilated?
Was it the last episode?
She did it on purpose, though, didn't she? Yeah, anyway, they all get their own tables, but no, not Prodigy.
Well, in First Contact, they're just like the little tubey things, aren't they? No one gets a table there. They're just all, yeah, the film First Contact.
Like, yeah.
Into your nanoprobes in your neck. Off you go. You're a Borg now.
Borgified. And here, hello, guys. Today I'm teaching you how to Borgify your friends.
Whee! Okay. Are there any other thoughts or comments we have about the episode itself?
I feel like I've talked very negatively this episode.
Do you? Okay,
you've
just pointed out.
No, but yes, but I'm saying that I'm just mentioning the negative stuff because I feel like I should play devil's advocate sometimes.
Mm.
I did thoroughly enjoy it.
Mm. Marks out of 10?
I'm going to give it solid 7.
Ooh, okay. Eves?
8.
Mm-hmm. Sarah?
Yeah, I'd probably go 7.
I'm going to big 9.
Big 9.
Ooh. Yeah.
The big old 9.
Yeah.
Better than last week's.
Yeah, I think it's better than last week's, yeah.
Okay,
so the good people at Trek This Out publicised our podcast over Twitter and Twitter. And a couple of people have replied. So who would like to read out our fans? Yeah, who would like to, if you do you want to read out this one? This is from, who's this from?
Go
on, have a go.
Dixie.
Hi, Dixie. How are you? Thank you for messaging.
I was about to say your one. I haven't found a single thing that I'm mad about. This show has exceeded my expectations. I love it so much. I respect that. I expect that comment.
Yeah, I feel the same.
I feel like it succeeded in what it planned out to do.
Mm.
And actually, it doesn't feel too much like a patronising kids show.
Mm. And it's still a proper Starfleet show, Star Trek show.
Starfleet.
Starfleet.
I feel like we haven't said how successful it is.
Mm.
Very successful. Well done, Prodigy.
And then, very excitingly, the executive producers of Prodigy has replied, Aaron J. Waltke, at Good Aaron. And Evie, do you want to read his out?
Thanks for watching the show. You and all Trek fans are rad and awesome.
I mean, he's not wrong, is he? Yes.
I mean, we're moving on up in the world, guys.
So thank you, Aaron, for giving us a little comment. That's very, very pleasant of you. It's made our day.
Really has.
Yeah. So, that's that episode. Are you looking forward to the next one? What do you think is going to happen next week? Eve, what do you think is going to happen next time?
I think they'll focus a lot more on the Diviner and Janeway.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I think, obviously, real Janeway, Admiral Janeway, is going to catch up with the Borg cube.
Mm.
But basically, it's a bit of a game of chase now, isn't it? So that's going to be quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I will just say one last thing.
Please.
And I know I've said this before, but I really, really, really love the theme tune.
Yeah,
it's cool. I love the music, and it makes me feel very happy when I hear it. Mm. So I must love the show a lot as well, actually, because it's got that association.
So did you actually say what you thought was going to happen next?
Yeah, Janeway was going to catch up with the Borg.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Glad one of us is listening.
Well, it's been a big
nobody
weekend.
Nobody else is.
Big weekend for the Davises.
Isabel, what do you think will happen next?
Yes, thank you for asking. I think that the distress call will go terribly. Mm. They'll have a dip in self-confidence.
Mm.
And then, I don't know, probably Zero is the inspirational one of them, will go, guys, all right. And then they'll feel good about themselves again. And then I think at the last minute, you know how like at the last minute this one, the diviner was like, oh, awake. I think they'll jump, find the cube. I agree with
just while you're on Zero, I love Zero is actually one of my favorite characters, and I love the voice work that is it Josh Imrie's doing. But I can't get over the fact that I'm listening to Matey off the Archers.
Yeah.
What? So he plays one of the characters in the Archers. No, is it Josh? It is
does Josh. He not play
he
Josh?
Plays Josh. Is that his name?
Is he Fred?
You're thinking of Freddy off the Archers.
No, I think he plays... Okay, we're not going to have to clarify this. Sorry, everyone. You're
he's
gonna have
Thelia
to
Imrie's son, isn't he? Well, I think he's lovely.
His son? Also...
Thelia Imrie. Yes. Big fan of Thelia Imrie. Yeah. Zero, right. This makes great podcast content, Sarah. Right.
Googling, if he were Suki would have been able to edit it out.
Yeah. Oh, that's
true. Now you've spoilt it.
No, I try not to give Suki too much editing work to do. He's a trooper. And I like to present him with a complete package of a podcast, as is this one. Go to the Memory Alpha one, it'll tell you. We seem to mention Memory Alpha a lot in these podcasts, don't we?
Yeah, I feel like we might have a problem on our hands.
It's very useful. It normally has a played by bit on Memory Alpha about who it is. Oh, you're having all sorts of trouble.
I am, man. It's
a Prodigy cast list, actually.
Our two children are now squirming awkwardly about the slow way that we use the internet.
Someone asked us to do it.
Well, I think we've pretty much finished anyway, because we're at half an hour. So there's something to tune in for next week to our podcast. Would we all like to say goodbye, everybody?
Yes, I would. Hang on.
Oh, okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Live long and... Oh, we can't say hang on. Bye. Hang
Angus
on.
Imrie.
Angus Imrie.
Angus Imrie.
He plays Josh.
Josh, thank you.
Good work, Angus. Love your work. I know you're a keen listener to this podcast, and we're big fans.
Yeah. Bye, guys, I guess.
Thanks for listening. Oh, send in messages, and we'll read them out next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Stop recording, Steve. Bye. Stop recording. Where's the button? There it is.
Bye.
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 Vice Admiral's log, stardate 61293.1. Despite his unknown species, Dr. Noam has stabilized our mysterious visitor by replicating a serum found nearby. From early tests, Noam believes his physiology may possess energy-based psychokinesis, not unlike some Zalconians. Unfortunately, our guest has suffered some kind of neurolytic shock and is barely conscious. Still, we've gleaned what we can. Namely, that dangerous criminals have kidnapped his daughter and stolen the protostar. Chakotay's role in all this is yet to be seen. He is a survivor, if nothing else. But Chakotay would have never allowed what happened to Relay Station CR-721. Such wanton devastation. Nothing left but dust and debris. No Starfleet ship should be used as a weapon of conquest. I will find them and bring them to justice.
That was horrible. Yeah. Welcome to my life.
Hi, I'm Kate Mulgrew, and I voice Catherine Janeway in Star Trek Prodigy. This week's lesson is about what we can learn from role models. I know all too well what it means to be inspired by stories. The universe of Star Trek, including Star Trek Prodigy, gives us so many role models who showcase their bravery and do the right thing.
A miracle worker!
The ideals that Starfleet stands for include exploring, cooperating, accepting and embracing differences, and learning all we can.
You made Starfleet proud.
In this week's episode of Prodigy, we see that Starfleet's ideals can be embraced by anyone.
We know we're not Starfleet. But you don't need a real ship to believe in what it stands for.
You and I can learn from Star Trek stories and emulate the good practices we learn from watching.